Good to have you here this morning. I hope you're pleased to be here. This little blast of spring we're getting kind of gives you that sense that Easter's coming, doesn't it? Glad to be with you this morning. As I was thinking how I could introduce this morning's message, and someone was so gracious to send me a little bit of background as to how we got some of the expressions that we use today. And I wanted to share a few with you. The whole expression of "he gave the whole nine yards," which I expect we know that he gave it all he got. Well, that expression came from World War II. American fighter planes had machine guns that had belt cartridges in them, and the average plane held a belt that was 27 feet long, or 9 yards. Sorry, that didn't work, did it? It was 9 yards long, and so if a pilot used all his ammo, if he used everything that he had given the whole 9 yards, and that's where that expression came from. And the expression, "he bought the farm." He bought the farm is an expression of another expression. He kicked the bucket. He died, and that expression came from World War I. And it was soldiers, when they went to war, were given a life insurance policy worth $5,000, which was the average cost of a local farm at that time. And so when a soldier bought the farm, means that he was killed and he had purchased the farm for the family. So one more, over the barrel, or over a barrel. It was in the days before CPR, and a drowning victim was placed over a barrel, and then the barrel was rocked back and forth in the hope to get the water out of his lungs. And so it really didn't work very well. And so if you were over the barrel, you were in deep trouble. This morning I would like to draw your attention to a historical statement called "Give me this mountain." And that is from Joshua, said of Caleb. The story goes back into Numbers 13, when Moses had received the law from the Lord on Mount Sinai. He had received the law of God. And then they were off to secure the land God had promised. As they got near, they camped at the desert of Parim, and there they sent out one leader from each of the 12 tribes to go and to check out the land. And Caleb was one of those leaders, one of those spies, and he gave a faithful report. He checked things out and brought back a faithful report. And this is what we find in, as John had read, directing your attention to Joshua 14, verse 7. And for 40 years, I'm sorry. "I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me to Kadesh Barnea to explore the land, and I brought him back a report according to my convictions. But my brothers who went up with me made the heart of the people melt with fear. I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly." Just a very brief overview of that event. 12 men went to spy on Canaan, 10 were bad and 2 were good. What did they get when they sought to Canaan? 10 were bad and 2 were good. Some saw giants big and tall, some saw grapes in clusters fall. 2 saw God was in it all, 10 were bad and 2 were good. Just a little overview as to what happened there when those 12 spies went to check out the promised land. The account is found in Numbers chapter 13. I want to read a portion of this for you this morning. Starting at verse 25, and at the end of 40 days, they returned from spying out the land. And they came to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation of the people of Israel in the wilderness of Purim at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregations and showed them of the fruit of the land. And they said to him, and they told them, him, "We came to the land in which you sent us. It flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. However, the people who dwell in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. And besides, we saw the descendants of Anak there." The Ammonites dwelt in the land of the Negev. The Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites dwell in the city, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea along the Jordan. But Caleb quietened the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and occupy it, for we are able to overcome it." Then the people who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we are." So they brought to the people of Israel a bad report in the land which they had spied out, saying, "The land though which we have gone to spy out is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people that we saw in it are of great height. And there we saw the Nephilim, the sons of Anak, who came from the Nephilim. And we seemed to ourselves like grasshoppers, and so we seemed to them." Then all of the congregations raised a loud cry, and the people wept that night. And all the people of Jerusalem grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The whole congregation said to them, "Would that we have died in the land of Egypt. We would have died in the wilderness. Why is the Lord bringing us into this land to fall by the sword? Our wives and our little ones will become a prey. Would it not be better for us to go back to Egypt?" And they said to one another, "Let us choose a leader and go back to Egypt." This action, this response to God's provision resulted in the children of Israel wandering around in the desert for 40 years, so that adult generation all perished, save but two. The two that brought the positive report, whose name was Joshua and Caleb. And now here in Joshua 14, Caleb is reminding Joshua what Moses had said to him. And Moses swore on that day, verse 9 says, saying, "Surely the land on which your foot has trodden shall be an inheritance to you and your children forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God." Caleb had brought a faithful report to the children of Israel. But what else do we see here? Well, pardon the second point, how it's worded, because I thought I needed to get something that sort of flowed And the first point being Caleb gave a faithful report. And so the second point is Caleb found the fountain of youth. Now, we know that there's no fountain of youth, but God uniquely worked in Caleb's life. Listen how Caleb describes himself. "And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, just as he said, these 45 years since the time that the Lord spoke these words to Moses. While Israel walked in the wilderness, and now behold, I am this day 85 years old. I am still as strong today as I was in that day that Moses sent me. My strength now is as my strength was then, for war and for going and coming." Some of us have a hard time admitting that we're getting old. And so we kind of think in our mind that we can do what we used to be able to do 20 years ago. Others of us recognize that those years aren't particularly graceful. I knew a guy who he was well into his 70s, and we would have a seniors event, and I would particularly invite him to come, and he, "No way, there's just old people there." I don't think what Joshua was saying here was a pride statement, but one that testifies the faithful work of the Lord. Not only did God keep his promise in keeping Caleb alive, but he kept him in great health. At age 85, he was as strong as he was at 45. Some of you may be able to identify with this. "I reached the spot where my train of thought often leaves the station without me." And I came across this little story. I heard of a story of a lady's first appointment with a new dentist when she had moved back to the area in which she had grown up. Seeing the name on the certificates hanging on the wall, memories returned of a classmate who was by that name some 40 years ago. However, upon seeing him, balding and deep-lined face, she concluded that he is much too old to be her classmate. After the examination, she asked him if he had attended the local high school. "Yes, I did," came the reply. "When did you graduate?" "In 1975, came the answer. "Why, you were in my class," the lady explained. The doctor looked at her carefully and said, "What subject did you teach?" Well, back to our story. God not only kept his promise in keeping Caleb alive, but he kept him strong. He kept him powerful. And isn't this a fulfillment of the scripture, what it says in Ephesians 3:2? "Now unto him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask and think." God is able to do far more than what we would expect, far more than what we would even imagine to ask. Caleb found favor in man and God. Caleb's request: "So now give me this hill country in which the Lord spoke on that day." This is, by the way, where I got the title of this message. And reading out of the King James Version, it says, "Now therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake of that day." Interesting to note, the land that he requested, this was not an easy takeover. This was not a pushover. Listen to the way this land is described. It's the latter part of verse 12. Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me on that day. For you yourself heard when that the Anakites were there, and their cities are large and fortified. But the Lord helping me, I will drive them out. Just as he said. What do we know about the Amalekites, or the Anakin, as it is known in other places of Scripture? They were descendants of Anak. They dwelt in the southern Palestine and the neighborhood of Hebron. In the days of Abraham, they inhabited the regions known as Edom and Moab across the Jordan. They were probably a remnant from the original inhabitants of Palestine before the Canaanites, a Kishite tribe from Babel, and on the name of the Phoenicians and the Egyptian shepherd kings. They were formerly warlike in appearance. That describes why the spies were so intimidated by them, and they returned with such an ill report. They were identified in Genesis as well as in Numbers as giants. And here we see they occupied the land that God had given to Caleb, who did expel them from the land. But there was a remnant that remained and found refuge in the cities of Gaza and Gath and Ashdod. And it's very interesting that the Philistine giant Goliath that David encountered in 1 Samuel 17 was from Gath, and it is believed that he was a descendant of this race. And Caleb found favor before Joshua and before his God. And Joshua awarded him the land that he asked for, and Caleb was successful at securing it. And the chapter closes with, "And the land had rest from war." Some may think asking God to move in a particular way may be asking God to limit his blessing. I don't think so. God can and does do greater things than we ask or think. And we've already considered that out of Ephesians 3. Now unto him who is able to do more abundantly than all that we ask or think. So I don't think as we are intentional in asking and praying to God that we are limiting him. But also let us be people of faith. And even in boldness, as we are willing to act as Caleb. Not give me this mountain, but maybe give me this town. Maybe give me this town to the point where we will make an impact, an eternal impact in this town. How do we do that? Romans 10, verse 11 to 15 says, "The scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there's no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe on him in whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. I was encouraged to hear Brian lead us in prayer for the missionaries to whom this church not only has been faithfully supporting, but has actually sent out, taking the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, for people to have a life-changing experience with God, they need to hear that message. And what is that message? One, that man is made by God to worship and to fellowship with him. That is the supreme purpose of God, or I'm sorry, of man, to worship and fellowship with God. But man has sinned and alienated or separated himself from his Creator. And God, because of his great love with which he loved us, provided a means by which we can be restored through the sacrificial death of his sinless Son, paying the penalty for our sin. Indeed, the sin of the world. But for that to make a difference in our lives, we need to act. Confessing and repenting of our sin, asking God to forgive us of our sin, and invite him to be our Lord and Savior of our lives. Will you be willing to join me in asking, Lord, give us this town. But prayer is not enough. Action is required. How will they hear without someone telling them? Those of you who are willing to pray, Lord, give us this town, are you also willing to share the gospel, share your faith with someone from here this year, as the Lord would give opportunity? Will you be intentional and alert to be looking for opportunities to share your faith, to share the gospel of Jesus Christ? Will you make that commitment today? I'm not presenting a hard sell here. Just an opportunity for you to commit before God. And sometimes we need to make an intentional decision for it to stick. We can kind of in ourselves say, yeah, I would do that. I will try to do that. But I guess I'm asking for you to make an intentional decision that you would be willing and watchful for opportunities to share your faith with someone this year. And I'm going to ask you for a commitment. If you would be willing to do that in intentionally watching for opportunities to share your faith, will you raise your hand? Thank you. That exercise was not for me. That exercise was for you. That you would be intentional, that you would be prepared to share that good news, that hope, that confidence, that life-changing news with those to whom the Lord will bring into your life. Let me pray. Lord, we pray that we might not be the same church a year from now as what we are. Lord, may we see your hand at work. May we see you leading and guiding and bringing people into our lives. Lord, alert our thinking to the opportunities that you would give us. Lord, may we be confident in a presentation of the gospel. Thank you for your great love for us. Thank you for the way that you have moved in our life, that we can call you our God. Lord, it's not your will that any perish, but all to come to repentance. And so we pray that we might be found faithful, entrusted with wonderful news of the gospel, to share it. Thank you for such instruction that we have in your word, that we are to give witness, to be your ambassador. And maybe even for some that are here to go. Heavenly Father, may we be found faithful in your sight. May we enjoy your rich blessing as we strive to be the church that you are calling, leading, giving us opportunity to be. Lord, guide us as to how we can impact this town. Give us this town, we pray. Thank you for such an example in this Caleb, who was willing to do the hard things and take on the great challenges, knowing that he would go in your strength. Lord, may that be us as well, that we would be bold, that we would be courageous, that we would be willing to speak for you, to speak of you, to share your wonderful truth to a world that is dying. Lord, may the witness of Forest Baptist Church bring you glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.